Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
You're the best! We're the beautiful! We're the only!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I am your host, Kyle Autry, joined, as always, by my co-host, JD. JD, how are you today?
Dude, I am spooky as heck. Looking forward to the end of October. Obviously, this is kind of our time of year, isn't it? Like, October is our month.
Yeah.
And what do we have? We've got something great in store for all of you that have been listening all month long before we transition into the much-anticipated November Thanksgiving season.
The November to remember, ECW. Rob Van Dam.
No, okay. I went off on a tangent. But seriously, who are you going to call, man? This is a huge week. This is going to be a really fun episode. You guys are listening to Teaser Trailer. We're going to be discussing the 1984 action comedy fantasy film Ghostbusters. And before we dive in and put on our proton packs, before we dive into Ghostbusters, you guys can now support the show by checking out our line over at Five Finger Tees. By checking out our affiliate Five Finger Tees, the website's fivefingertees.com. They have a bunch of amazing t-shirts. I know they probably have some Ghostbuster stuff on there. Reasonably priced, like $10 shirts, $30 hoodies. Use promo code at checkout, 5 off. You save a little bit of money, and it does help support the show. We'll put some links on Twitter. Maybe pick out a cool Ghostbusters shirt. You guys can check it out. Support the show. You can also support us by just rate, reviewing, and subscribing. iTunes, Google Play, CastBox, YouTube. That's the best way to really support the show. It's totally free, and it helps us to continue to grow. So, JD, let's talk first memories of Ghostbusters and the first time you can remember watching this movie.
Oh, geez. This is a movie that I just always have in my memory. Like, it just has always existed. Like, yeah. What? We're talking 1984, so this came out a year before I was even born, 2 years before you were born. I don't know. Like, I feel like my parents, like, they birthed me, they sat me down, and they said, JD, te presento a Ghostbusters. And I just was always familiar. Like, it was always a part of who I was as a kid, from the cartoon, the movie, from the action figures, from the toy line, video games, like, everything. Just, it was Ghostbusters. Like,
yeah,
it just was.
The toys were amazing. I definitely had the original Proton Pack, the Trap, the Ghostbuster 2 Slime Pack, the purple one. I can remember that. I think I talked about this on the last episode. I had a Ghostbusters tent that I was always putting up and taking down. I mean, there's tons of photos of me, like, as a little kid with something Ghostbusters related, or my cake was Ghostbusters. And it's funny because, yeah, we weren't even born when the movie came out. But it was still popular even when we were like 4 or 5. And then obviously the sequel came out, and then that stayed with us for a couple of years. And then we hit puberty and we started watching things like Mighty Ducks in our archives. But yeah, I mean, this was an awesome movie to grow up on. And I feel like the same way that this is a really cool movie for us to grow up on, there's probably some kids, maybe not that young, but kind of the same thing going on with like Stranger Things.
I just find it so interesting that when you hit puberty, you started watching Mighty Ducks and not some other kind of film or...
Well, True Lies, Mighty Ducks, yeah.
No, True Lies is what sent you into puberty.
Oh, that's very true. No, it was probably Baywatch, Saved by the Bell, shows like that.
This conversation's getting very erotic.
Hey.
Speaking of erotic... Speaking of erotic, go ahead and listen to Dracula's Daughter in our archives, last week's episode.
So let's go ahead and fire up the trailer. That's the reason we're here. We're going to pop on YouTube, type in Ghostbusters original movie trailer. You'll be looking for the one titled Ghostbusters 1984 official trailer. It has 2.5 million views, and it was uploaded by Trailers Playground HD. I'll give a 3-2-1 click countdown, and we can watch this together. JD, are you ready?
So ready.
3-2-1 click.
Ghosts.
Hello, Ghostbusters.
They're real.
You do?
They're mean.
You have?
They're here. Ghostbusters.
Hey, anybody see a ghost?
They catch the ghost that won't stay dead. They're armed. They're dangerous.
Try to imagine all life as you know it stopping instantaneously and every molecule in your body exploding at the speed of light.
All right, that's bad. Okay. All right, important safety tip. Thanks, Egon.
They're professionals.
Oh. I'm the chairman of the largest paranormal removal company in America.
You see it?
Stands between you and the end of the world.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion. Real wrath of God type stuff. Fire and brimstone coming down from the sky. Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Your girlfriend lives in the corner penthouse of Spook Central.
You want this body?
Is this a trick question?
Stick. Hold. Him up. Smoke him. Make him hard. Ready.
Ghostbusters. Starring Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Sigourney Weaver, Harold Ramis, Rick Moranis. Ghostbusters.
JD, what'd you think of the trailer?
I forgot to mention kicked his ass at the end.
Yeah, kind of cut out a little bit there.
Man, which was totally appropriate for the time.
You know what? I don't know if this is the actual original trailer because it doesn't feel that dated, but the voiceover guy sounded dated, though.
Obviously, yeah. He's smoked his way through a few packs of Camels.
And he keeps saying, Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters. Like
he's a New York guy.
No, I think this trailer was, it's a good trailer. It really depicts and sets the expectations for what we are trying to get at. It's hard to watch this trailer knowing what this movie is and not wanting more from it.
Okay.
Like, I would be curious, audience, if you've never seen Ghostbusters before, if you have no idea what you're in store for, what are your thoughts about this trailer? Because to me, I'm kind of like, well, why didn't they show this scene? Why didn't they use this line? Why didn't they show that part? I think that there's so much more marketing potential that they could have done to sort of really sink teeth into what this movie is and what it's about, because there's so much to it.
Yeah, there's so many pieces to this puzzle. But I thought the trailer was fantastic. Like, you guys will never hear this because I'll edit it out, but like I was laughing hysterically in parts. And then I'm also like mesmerized in parts. Like there's just still some things that as soon as it starts happening on the screen, like I'm 5 years old again. Can't help it. But let's talk about the numbers. Good trailer. So they debuted at the box office June 8, 1984. The film, distributed by Columbia, had a runtime of 107 minutes. Production budget pretty high for this time period, $30 million budget. Ghostbusters opened number one at the box office, bringing in $13.6 million. In week two, they repeated as the number one movie, bringing in this time over $15 million in week two. And their 10-day total, $38.2 million right off the bat here. JD, do you think the schoolyard effect was in play here?
Oh, goodness, yes. It has to be.
of course. So the schoolyard effect was definitely in play. They would spend 20 weeks inside the top 10. 10 weeks is the number one movie in the country. And would spend about 30 weeks in total at the box office. Domestically, the film brought in $242,212,467. Another $53 million internationally, bringing their worldwide total to $212,467, making Ghostbusters the second highest grossing movie of 1984.
Oof.
The only to be beat out by one film starring a former stand-up comedian. JD, would you like to take a stab?
Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls.
That's 94. You're close, though. I thought you were going to say Dances with Wolves.
Yeah, I should have.
Yeah, Beverly Hills Cop. That was the number one movie.
Beverly Hills Ninja.
Tommy, good boy. Tommy, what wingy? So I've got the top 10 movies of that weekend, but this is a list that's going to sound a little familiar because we've actually covered it about a year ago in our archives when we did Gremlins, because they also debuted on this same exact day in 1984. How about that, man? Ghostbusters and Gremlins. Number one, number two in the box office. Both movies still iconic 34 years later.
It's a 1-2 punch.
So yeah, Ghostbusters was one. Gremlins was two. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, number three. Star Trek III, The Search for Spock was number four. Number five, Beat Street. Six, The Natural. Seven, Romancing the Stone. Eight, Breakin'. Number nine, Streets of Fire. And 10, Police Academy. JD, any standouts on that top 10?
Besides all of them? I know we discussed a lot of these in length before, but like, it's so happy to hear Police Academy on that list.
Right.
I saw Streets of Fire when I was in college, and I kind of did not like it.
Yeah, I really don't know Breakin' or Streets of Fire. I've heard Romancing the Stone. Beat Street, I don't know anything about that movie. All the other ones are solid.
It's a very competitive week.
We'll get into some critic and audience response here. As usual, we'll use Rotten Tomatoes to gauge the response of both. JD, how do you think the critics received Ghostbusters?
I don't know. If Ghostbusters came out today... it did come out today. they did the remake, and it was critically, and I think the audience panned it as well. So
nope. Actually, it was certified fresh, believe it or not.
What percentage?
I want to say it was at 1.80s, but then I think it dropped into the 70s. Paid for, okay. Without a doubt.
Okay, I you said it, not me, because I don't buy that. Let's focus on 1984. We got this Ghostbusters movie. We have an original concept, which is taken off of what? It's based off of a cartoon, the original Ghostbusters, or do you have info on that?
I don't. I'm sure we'll get into that in the full review. That's interesting. I did not know that.
It's not officially based on, but there was a cartoon called the Ghostbusters, or it's a live action something, or the concept and idea of people busting ghosts obviously wasn't created just strictly out of the blue here, but what they did was a great job of taking the idea of a horror, scary ghost, specter, spooks, and ghouls, and, you know, infusing comedy with it. And with the actors that are in it at the time, with Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis and Ernie Hudson, and who's the other? There's one more big actor in it. What's his name?
Bill Murray.
Oh, how did I forget Bill Murray? I'm being sarcastic. Rick Moranis. I mean, like, this movie is the apex of the 80s. I feel like the critics definitely smiled upon seeing this. I feel like they probably had a little bit of gripes with overall with story and effects, but the music and the acting and the comedy and the balance between how silly it is and how scary and spooky it is. I want to say that they probably at the time came in at, like, I don't know, 83%.
Okay, so they are a 97% certified fresh.
No shit, that high?
Yeah.
Son of a gun. That's got to be like high on the Rot Tots list.
Yep. And then the audience wasn't as good, but that's actually closer to your original guess. It was 88 from audience.
I would have expected the audience to be higher than the critics.
Me too. But, man, you can never figure these out exactly. It's always one thing a little bit different. I think out of 60 movies, we probably have been dead on with maybe 4 or 5 within a couple percent. So this is always a shoot guess, but. Let's hear from some of the critics, because they have some really good things to say here. Gene Siskel of the Chicago Tribune said, "On balance, Ghostbusters is a hoot. It's Murray's picture. In a triumph of mind over matter, he blows away the film's boring special effects with his one-liners." Thoughts on Gene Siskel? I don't agree with the boring special effects at all, but what do you think of that?
I don't know. I feel like that sort of matches a lot of what I said, that the special effects aren't anything to write home about. Like, they're very especially dated now watching it in 2018. We're talking however many years, 34 years later. But Bill Murray's acting and comic delivery definitely endures.
Dave Kerr of the Chicago Reader said, "Essentially a $30 million version of Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy, but not all a bad time, thanks mainly to Bill Murray's incredibly dry line readings and director Ivan Reitman's maintenance of a moderately coherent tone and plotline." Kind of a backhanded slap, but overall he puts it over. What would you think of Dave Kerr?
No, I think that's right on. I can see where you come from by calling it a backhanded slap, but you have to take this movie for what it is, and while we appreciate it for its nostalgic greatness, yeah.
And then Roger Ebert, last up, gave the film 3 out of 4 stars and said, "This movie is an exception to the general rule that big special effects can wreck a comedy." I think that's pretty good. Again, I'm a fan of the special effects. Yes, they're dated. I didn't think they were dated when I was a little kid. But yeah, they don't ruin the comedy at all, which I think a little bit of the gripe with Ghostbusters 2 is that they do.
That's a good point.
So, but I love Ghostbusters too, so you're not going to get much negative stuff out of me.
So it's, I almost wish that we were doing Ghostbusters 1 and then boom, right into Ghostbusters 2 to do a solid comparison between both films.
Okay. Well, we could.
No, we've got a schedule though.
We do. Okay. What are you looking forward to most when we dive into the full review with Ghostbusters?
Rick Moranis' house party.
Okay.
I love that party that he throws with the jackets in the room and the gremlin dogs and everything like that. Like, I don't know. Rick Moranis he's on my list along with Michael Shannon for actors or just humans that I would love to meet.
Okay. Excellent. And I am looking forward to just talking about all the comedy, the one-liners, and just looking at this movie in a different lens for the first time, because I've never watched it and took notes. So this will be interesting. Make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, CastBox. All 4 full episodes are up on YouTube as well. You can rate, review. That'll help us grow the podcast. But it is that time of the episode to climb back into the Ecto-1.
And ooh, put a nicely little done.
Foot down on the gas, run some red lights. We'll be back with the full review. See ya.
Woo-boo.